Now stay tuned for To Your Health on WPVC LP Charlottesville, the show where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. Now here's your host, MC Blair.
Welcome, welcome. We're here at To Your Health on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, Resistance Radio. And I just wanted to start off by introducing our guests this morning. We have Jeanette Abinader.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you live there?
I'm live.
Oh, awesome. Right, cool. And Aline Carey.
Good morning.
They're from City Schoolyard Garden, the wonderful project that they've got out there. And we'll be talking to them momentarily. I just wanted to let you guys know that I am not some slick salesman that's here with the main goal to entertain you. I do hope you enjoy listening and learning here on To Your Health. I'm just a guy with a passion and desire for a food system not controlled by for-profit-only corporations. I'll research everything from local food and wine to healthy practices like yoga and meditation, and then I'll have the experts come on and confirm and expand on that research. So I like to start the show off with some headlines. Just wanted to let you guys know that dark forces are coming for your organic food. The Freedom Caucus, which is a GOP group famous for the shutdown of the government, remember the Tea Party, pushing to repeal ACA, they're coming for our organic food. On the recommended list of regulations to remove is the National Organic Program. Unbelievable. As a matter of fact, Jeanette was a former organic certifier.
Yep.
in a previous life.
Back in the day.
And they set the national standards, and organic food is the fastest growing segment of the grocery business, 11% a year. And the Freedom Caucus says that it costs $256 million a year for the NOP. But that's strange because the budget's only $9 million, and I don't know how they figure cost. It's kind of tough. It kind of sounds like alternative facts. If they dismantle the NOP, it would leave consumers in the dark as to what the new organic really means. And as they say, there's a new sheriff in town, a fast food scarfing Republican, and the GOP runs both sides of the aisle. It can be daunting. But the answer, of course, is community-based agriculture, right? Next one is a survey finds that most Americans lack basic nutrition information. They just don't know how to stay healthy. There's a Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine put this report out. Nutrition-related diseases kill millions of Americans every year, and a major cause of these epidemics is that many consumers do not know enough about the role that foods play in our health. According to the CDC, two-thirds of adults and one-third children are obese. And, of course, that when you do that, you run the risk of type 2 diabetes. Now, the first part of that was 5 years ago. As of 2014, adults are now up to 36%, and children have dropped slightly, which kind of neat. You know, I'm wondering if maybe the schoolyard garden plays a role in that.
We try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And of course, those statistics differ with different groups like Hispanic, Asian, African American, or Caucasian. And as I said before, the solution, I always like to offer solutions on this program, you know, a little positive stuff going on. But the solution is educate the students of the present to change the future. And this is accomplished through programs like City Schoolyard Garden. So I'd like to throw this out here. And Jeanette, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to Charlottesville and started this, or the administrator of the City Schoolyard Garden.
Sure. The City Schoolyard Garden was started in 2010 by Linda Weinkoff, who's had children in the Charlottesville City Schools, and she was inspired by Alice Waters, what she's doing out at the Edible Schoolyard in Berkeley, and started talking with people and pulling people together who had an interest in having gardens at the schools. So she connected with Juan Diego Wade, who's on the Charlottesville School Board, and he connected her with Eric Johnson, who's the principal at Buford Middle School. And they talked about this idea, and Eric was like, yeah, let's go for it. And so it started with a beautiful garden at Buford in 2010. Mm-hmm. And Linda had this amazing vision of how to include partners in wanting gardens at all the schools. And then Alice Waters came to visit in our area and talked with our superintendent and just inspired a lot of people. And in 2012, we expanded gardens to all of the elementary schools. And then just this past year, we started at the high school, too. So right now, yeah.
That's Charlottesville High School,
right? Charlottesville High School,
yeah. That's amazing. So what exactly do you do? I mean, you know, it's great. Just tell us a little bit about it.
So we have the gardens. We take care of the gardens. We have staff at each of the schools. Mm-hmm. We bring students out from the classroom, students and teachers out. Have different subjects in the garden. We host classes. We have after-school garden clubs. And we also engage the community. We have work days on the weekends. You know, lots of volunteers from around the community come and help manage these 8 organic gardens. And we really take the opportunity to give youth a chance to engage in the outdoors, to learn through hands-on projects at the schools. And, they're out there. It's a part of their everyday life.
So I'd like to get Aileen in here as well. Talk about some of the statistics of city schoolyard gardens.
As far as what we provide?
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things about the programs that we offer are the interactions. And so we're looking at about 24,500 youth interactions for about 2,818 youth in our 7 schoolyard gardens. Now, this year we just opened a new garden at Charlottesville High School, and we're very proud of that and very excited about what's going on there. Some other things that you'd love to know, there's about 950 volunteer hours and about 70 partners are actively engaged in the gardens and the events. Some of those partners range from the City of Charlottesville Public Schools. They're a huge partner of ours. So it could range from that to some of our business partners like Styx, who always have a Styx for Sheds program for us twice a year.
Styx for Sheds, what is that?
Do you want to talk about
sure,
it, Jeanette?
Yeah. Styx hosts on Saturdays. They host nonprofit.
Oh, Bill Hamilton's place.
Yeah.
Styx. Oh, okay.
Styx,
okay.
Bob
okay.
Shop.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
And so for Saturday, every Saturday in January and in May, the 10% of the proceeds go to the city schoolyard garden. And the first year we did it, we used it to build sheds for.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they've continued to do it for us over the years, even though we have the sheds now. Now it's going towards programming. So we still call it Styx for Sheds, but it's going towards programming.
So that's
now.
A local bid. They're one of our sponsors, Hamilton's.
Yeah.
And that's good to know that they're right in there.
Absolutely. They also help to provide snacks, healthy snacks for the students when we have some of our events or after-school garden club. They're helping to provide some of those healthy snacks for the students as well. So they're one of our great partners as well. I think another really good one, and I was actually talking to one of the school board members last night, and she was mentioning a family coming through and getting to see Buford Garden as they're moving to the area and how excited they were about the opportunity for their family to take part in what's going on there at Buford, which is the middle school here in the city. About 95% of parents and teachers feel that having a CSG garden at their school is very important. And so she got to see that firsthand with this family, that they were, you know, looking around the school, trying to make some decisions, saw that garden, and fell in love.
Oh my.
Which is what we want to happen for families.
Absolutely.
And students, you know, for their families as well.
Yeah, and I imagine the kids and you know, any of the participants with the city schoolyard garden is they feel maybe a sense of pride and obviously health. hope, you know. Do you find the students do better in school?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a variety of reasons why. I mean, you can look at different, if you're talking about actual academic performance or feeling as though they have a place to be that belongs to them. There's many different reasons why students who are engaged in being in the garden, being healthy. I mean, that, of course, having a healthy snack before you have to take a test or, you know, do work in class, yeah. that can have a significant effect on how you perform. So there's a ton. We have been doing evaluations over the years, so we have research to back that up as well as to how the experience having the garden there, participating in the programs, really does provide great outcomes for the students.
Oh, man. You're listening to Your Health here on WPVC 94.7 Resistance Radio, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And we're talking with Jeanette Abbey-Nader and Aline Carey of City Schoolyard Garden. You mentioned before about how Charlottesville High School actually has an accredited course now. Is that...
Well, they're starting one.
They're starting one in the fall.
Yeah, so the garden at Charlottesville High School has been there for a few years now. Mm-hmm. Peter Davis, who's a teacher at the high school, started the garden just on his own. He's been doing it for a couple years, and he has a garden to market class. So it's a class where students grow things in the garden and then learn about how to market them. They have a small CSA, they grow transplants, and then they sell those.
Oh, my.
So that's been really amazing. And then we just joined forces. So he's been doing that for a few years. We just joined forces with him this year, and the principal, Dr. Irizarry, is super excited about the garden and wants to make it an integral part. So they're offering a new urban agricultural course this fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now would that go through the summer?
No, the course will be during the school year. It'll be a regular academic course.
Oh, okay.
At least at this point, they're not planning for it to be in the summer.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's a good growing time.
Right, yeah.
You know, in the summer, to keep the kids off the streets.
Right. We use a lot of the gardens are used in the summer for summer camps.
We
partner
sense.
Up with Parks and Rec and the Boys and Girls Club and the PB&J Kitchen. Lots of different partners, as Aline mentioned. And have different camps out at the gardens.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
So you've got this seedling giveaway. Is that?
So one of the things at Buford Middle School, where we have a full-time garden educator at the school, she hosts a daily garden aid class. That's Emily Axelbaum. She hosts two classes. And one of the goals, as the students coming up from the elementary school into middle school, they're starting to learn more about civic engagement, about leadership. So the students that are in this class, they take responsibility for the garden all the way from ordering seeds this time of year, designing the garden, all the way to, you know, planting, seeding, caring, harvesting. And in the spring, as part of their community service hours, they use a hoop house that we have put up, and they grow all kinds of seedlings. They grow over 5,000 seedlings.
Wow.
And then distribute them to organizations in this across the city, nonprofits, community gardens, that we work with, you know, various groups. And the students get to take some home, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then everything that's left over, we have a seedling sale.
Yeah.
So that the public can also come on in. And so this spring, that'll be May 4th and 5th mm-hmm. for the public to come in after we've been able to donate to area partners.
So that's May 4th and 5th, location?
At Buford.
Oh, at Buford mm-hmm. Middle School.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the evening, probably.
In the evening.
Like 4 or 5 o'clock.
4 or 5 o'clock, and there'll be announcements for
that. We'll have it on our website, yeah.
Okay. So that's www.cityschoolyardgarden.org is the website for that. What's your mission?
Do you want to hit that, Aline? Sorry.
Yeah, sure. we always talk about how we pitch ourselves, how we talk to you all about what we do. The short answer is that we're here to cultivate academic achievement, health, environmental stewardship, and community engagement through garden-based experiential learning in Charlottesville City Schools. So, I think the academic part of it is sometimes what people are worried about. Is this going to be academically stimulating and rigorous for the students? And it absolutely is. And there's, as you heard about the classes at the high school as well as at Buford Middle School, there is that academic tie. What we do in the elementary schools as well with the programming there whether it's First Piece to the Table or Harvest of the Month, there is a specific academic tie to everything that we're doing as we're getting them engaged, mm-hmm. giving them leadership skills to grow on. And again, that learning about healthy food, healthy living, healthy bodies. So it's all tied in there.
That's great. You know, it's almost like I flashed on the family eating together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when that occurs, even if it's just one day a week, that that family will be closer together because they have a chance to talk and to interact. And this is seems like it's just, you know, a little bit the same. It's a family, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in school or you're doing one of the summer camps,
right?
And you're all of you have the same goal, and so you know from different cultures and
yeah.
and also that. I mean, it's
nice
community. It's
it.
Wonderful, you
yeah.
know. It's a family. So, and so you've got the Outreach, which is the Food Justice Network.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the Food Justice Network.
Last year, we partnered with a few local organizations, City of Promise and the Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah. We had Todd on here.
He was just on a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
a great
yeah.
program. And so we partnered with them to apply for a USDA Community Food Project grant. And that's a grant that goes to cities who are doing multi-sectoral work to address issues around hunger, poverty, loss of farmland. So these, you know, these tied, connected approaches. And part of that project that we're all working on is to bring together, is to form it what ended up being called the Charlottesville Food Justice Network. And it brings together organizations in Charlottesville who are working to build a healthy and just food system.
Oh, man.
And we're just getting started. We've been meeting for a year now, but it's still in the very early stages. But what our hopes and aspirations are to amplify issues around food justice and food security in our community. We have a wonderful foodie culture in Charlottesville, really appreciation for local food. We have so many different resources with the local food hub and with all of these wonderful restaurants, and trying to make that culture and love and passion for food accessible and available to all people in the community.
That is such good work and so needed at this time. I mean, it's just fabulous. We're going to take a little break now.
Great.
And we will be back shortly. Well, we're back just talking with Jeanette Abernader and Eileen Carey from City Schoolyard Gardens here on To Your Health at 94.7 WPVC Resistance Radio, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Jeanette, you were talking about earlier about your partners and they sponsor how... How do they sponsor? Obviously they give money, volunteer time?
Yeah, all different kinds of partnerships. Mm-hmm. So there's the financial partnerships that support and sponsor our activities, volunteers, especially in the beginning when the gardens were just getting started, so much volunteer effort to put in the gardens, to build fences. We have groups from UVA coming out. Business groups will come out. You know, families. We try to host family community garden days, so... And folks in the neighborhood can really see the garden and feel like it's their own. It is their own garden,
yeah.
It's a community garden. And then we have formal partnerships with the other organizations that are doing similar work in the area. For example, our summer camp, we work with the PB&J Kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and we host a garden-to-table summer camp where the kids come first to the garden at Buford. They work in the garden. They harvest what's growing there, and then they go to the PB&J Kitchen and cook that up. So it's a connection between learning how to grow and the nutrition and cook it.
Is that in town, the PB&J?
Yeah, they're
kitchen?
Right yep. there on Main Street across from the library.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do they do?
They teach cooking skills and nutrition to youth and young adults around.
So it just sort of ties right in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous.
And that's just one of the many. I mean, as Lee mentioned, the Charlottesville City Schools, of course, the gardens are integrated into the school program. The city has helped us with some of the environmental sustainability aspects of the
mm-hmm.
gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So at our Buford Garden, for example, at three of the gardens, we have roof water catchment systems where we collect water off the roof and put it into a big tank that then is stored. The city helped install solar panels at our hoop house at Buford.
Oh, that's great.
That helps open the louvers and run the fans in the hoop house.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's something else. So, you know, I didn't ask you, Aline, about your background. What is your background?
Well, I used to be a teacher.
Okay,
an
good.
Awesome teacher.
I was a high school teacher for 10 years and loved being in the classroom. And when I decided that I wanted to take a step out of the classroom for a break, one of my friends said, you have to learn about this program, City Schoolyard Garden. Got to know about these guys. So doing a little bit of research and wanting to still stay involved with children's lives, I said this is a no-brainer. This is a great idea. So as I've been on the board over the years and being able to volunteer time over the years, it's just it's unreal. It's amazing to see how the students benefit and to see how the community benefits as well. But getting to watch the students cooking their own food at Buford and serving it to their friends as they do in the fall before our Harvest Festival, and having them all try different things, getting to see their faces when they love something or, you know, they're not quite sure about it. We do a Harvest of the Month program in the elementary schools as well as Charlottesville High School, and it is... it's so much fun. It's so much fun to go and see the excitement that the kids have about the new snack. They do kind of like a trivia thing beforehand where the principals have facts and the teachers have facts to share with them so the students can guess what the crop that month is going to be. And last spring, I was able to help deliver the multicolored carrots over at Jackson Via School. And the students, when I came in the room with those carrots, they were dancing. Their teacher had told them that multicolored carrots are party carrots that dance in your mouth. So the students were up and they were dancing. They were so excited and they wanted to try the different colors to see if they tasted differently. They wanted to know, can you eat the green part? So then we were all, you know, eating the tops. It was unbelievable. So much fun. They were so into it. And watching them get excited about healthy eating, that feeling is what keeps, I think, all of us going, is how much they love it and how much we know they are benefiting from it.
Yeah, that's the Harvest of the Month program.
Yes.
And that's an amazing thing you guys are doing. So what, I guess, the future growth, where do you see this going?
Yeah. Well, as I was explaining in the beginning, you know, in the beginning we started at Buford and then to the elementary schools and then the high school. And, you know, Walker Upper Elementary is really ready to have a garden. That's the 5th and 6th grade school. And there's just a lot of the kids who have had a garden in their elementary school came to the school and they're like, where's our garden? Where's our Harvest of the Month? So they were asking the nutrition director, you know, could we have this? And the principal there is also really excited. We would love to grow to be able to represent all of the schools and to deepen all of the Charlottesville City schools. We're really focused on the city at this point to deepen that. And then we definitely will need to grow the garden at the high school to accommodate the urban agriculture class. So figuring out how to expand in that way. And Charlottesville City Schools also has a Lugo McGinnis Academy. And they have a small garden over there, and they're really interested in different programs too. So being able to just represent all of the schools, strengthen the Charlottesville Food Justice Network, and go deeper with the youth, giving them more and more opportunities every year.
So do you see this, I think a kind of a natural progression would be once a student had been a student and got out and possibly taking, you know, related courses at the many wonderful universities we have in the state, and maybe either joining you guys, coming back and joining you guys, or going out and starting a program of their own. Have you seen any?
Yeah.
Any?
I don't think we talked about this, did we, MC?
No, we didn't.
This is a very big goal of ours.
Oh, good.
And last year we started a youth internship program in the summer.
And one
of the young women who had started that first year at the garden at Buford Middle School was our intern, was a paid intern. And it was just, that's really, she had been in the program when it very first started before I was here. And was drawn to it because she saw the gardener one day. The way she tells the story is she saw the gardener walking around the halls of Buford with a big basket of tomatoes. And she was like, I have to follow that lady. And so she came on as staff last year for the summer. So we definitely are trying to build our youth leadership so that not only are students learning about healthy foods, about academics, about environmentalism, but about who they are and how they fit in the world, which they're learning at school. But, you know, having this smaller, focused, experiential place to do that. So we're definitely excited about
developing
that.
Oh, I bet you are.
Yeah, we want all the garden coordinators to have come up through the program, you know. Yeah.
We're talking with Aline Carey and Jeanette Abinader from City Schoolyard Garden here on To Your Health, WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And we, I saw a fact of some things in the, while I was reading. And in Ohio, the Ecological Food and Farm Association is teaming up with the Diabetes Education Coalition.
That's
cool. It is. I mean, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you're tying. We talked to people about how food, you know, locally, organically grown food is so healthy for you and it will just keep you, you know, healthy and ward off tons of diseases. And one of them being diabetes, you know, due to overweight. And here they are teaming up. They have a, they call it a Buy Local Foods Seminar.
Cool.
And they discuss how food choice systems promote healthy foods and the formation of community hunger councils. And it is in Ohio, but we're seeing a major groundswell nationwide, which, you know, shows us more and more that communities are taking control over their own food systems and distancing themselves from the corporate farm system by doing that. That's good news, right? I mean, I'm totally convinced that focusing on community-based agriculture will not only be a positive influence on us individually, but will help us learn to accept folks from other cultures. And that you know, we hear the thing, can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Well, doggone it, here's an answer for that.
Right.
This is certainly one solution to get involved, folks, and you know, volunteer your time, make a donation. But when you do that, you'll show that community means something to you and that you will be involved in something that can shape the future, can change the world, if you will, you know. So that's just tons of fun, you know. We talked about the future growth and you know, all the schools, hopefully all the elementaries and the middle schools and the high schools,
yeah.
And, you know, maybe getting out into the county, although I know you don't have much to do. But do you see this type of thing in other, you know, local areas like the county the county, Albemarle, or, you know, even Buckingham or any of that? Is that?
We definitely get asked about it. Mm-hmm. And I think we did a couple of years ago a garden tour, and it was open to the public, free and open to the public to come in and visit all of the different gardens. We had staff there to answer questions, and we had folks coming from over the mountain, Orange County, asking us about how this program runs. So there's a definite interest. Actually, someone from Norfolk asked recently to come in and visit the gardens as well. They're trying to get some steam behind their program as well. So it's not just us. There are gardens at some of the schools in the county. We don't run them, but that doesn't mean that we don't have information to share. We always love for people to come and visit and see what we're doing and ask questions and get excited about it. As you mentioned, it's about the community. So that's the city and the county and the surrounding areas, all of Virginia. We want to see people who are thinking about this and just encouraging students to, again, have that healthy mindset, to have those leadership skills, to be able to take this from school to school as they grow, from elementary school all the way up to high school and beyond. And so anything that we can do within our resources to help other organizations as they're learning and growing, we're all for that.
And it's nationally, too. There's an organization called the National Farm to School Network, where folks can go for a lot of information on, you know, programs around the country. Michelle Obama was a huge advocate of gardens, of course, and school gardens in particular. So there's a huge body of experience and resource to pull from.
Wow, that's really. So you mentioned earlier about the Food Justice Network and how you had mentioned like 27 different programs are participating. What is food justice? Basically, I mean, it's such a broad area, you know, I think like wages for the workers.
Right. And that's what we've been talking about. We gathered for the past year. We've been really exploring what does food justice mean to us in Charlottesville. And it's really about ensuring that all people in your community have access to fresh, affordable, healthy food.
Access,
that's culturally culturally appropriate. But in addition to access, they also have some kind of choice or power over how the food system works in their region. So that's sort of a broad academic definition. And then our work is to figure out what that means on the ground in our communities, how we can, like, health and nutrition is a lot about individual preference, right? Like you were saying, gathering around the kitchen table, coming together. But in addition to that, there's historical and structural barriers to that. So food justice takes on looking at some of those issues. In Charlottesville, some of the history of how Charlottesville developed, isolated some communities in certain areas and cut them off from businesses, and that affects food security as well in terms of setting up areas where there's not access to a grocery store with that has healthy food. So we're challenging ourselves to learn about that history, to work with the community to make changes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Slow going, but great.
Yeah,
you know, it's all...
I guess you see these... Even these small little goals met, student by student type of thing, one by one. And, I've always said community by community is really a big solution for this. What else? Food justice. What else?
Well, I would say with food justice, a big part of it is the awareness as well. Mm. Charlottesville is a community of that does have great prosperity, but there's also those who don't have the same amount of, like Jeanette said, access or ability. So the awareness of the community that this is an issue and that it's something that we can work to even have these conversations and think about how Charlottesville has been developed, how things that are happening today are still cutting people off. It's that the first step is the awareness. So that small goal is making sure that people are even thinking about this so that there can be, steps taken so that there can be that access for folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got one of my suppliers, Wolf Creek Farm in Madison. Mm. I was talking with John, the owner, and he said that if a community buys into this program, I'm talking about food access for the less fortunate and for everybody, obviously, but if the community bought into it, we could have a sliding price scale for this food, because as we all know, organic food or organically grown food, local, is usually more expensive. And it takes a lot to go in and you lose crops because you're not using pesticides or herbicides. So it's just more expensive to grow. And by using a sliding scale to where folks that are less fortunate pay what they're paying now or maybe even a little less, and then the people that are more fortunate, they just pay a little more. That way the farmers are happy because the net gain is worth it. Mm-hmm. And then the community is healthier.
Yeah,
right.
That's neat.
Do you ever think about that?
Are they thinking of doing that?
That's something that's out there. I'm just putting this stuff out here. If there's anybody who wants to tackle that one,
exactly. That's cool.
Give us a call here at the station,
yes,
or contact Jeanette or Eileen over at City Schoolyard Garden. That was www.cityschoolyardgarden.org to not only see more of what they're doing, but also to donate the time and or a financial donation. So you have got, I saw you were writing something down.
I was thinking
there.
We could just share a little bit about what's happening this spring, what's coming up.
Absolutely.
So we have a few different programs coming up. Aline mentioned the spring seedling thing, that the youth will be doing that. For the elementary school kids, we have a spring first piece to the table competition.
I just wanted to stop you about the seedlings and reiterate that the students are helping to plant like 5,000 seedlings that are going out to the schools and other programs. That just bowls me over when you hear that 5,000, upwards of almost 6,000, I think.
Well, actually, it's that many at Buford, and then the high school does as many as well. They do 4,000 or 5,000, too, so that's really cool.
So the amount of seedlings going out into the community, and it kind of makes me think of the students going out into the community. They're putting themselves out into the community and helping others to grow as well. But just the numbers, I just had to reiterate, it's amazing and it's awesome to go in there and see all of the work that Emily and the students are doing. It's pretty cool.
And they chose the varieties and they did research on that and just bought the seeds and stuff. So
that's we're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back and talk more
about the spring. Nice.
You're listening to Your Health. And we're back. That was a good public service announcement.
Great tie-in.
It really was. So we're talking with Jeanette Abinader and Aline Carey from City Schoolyard Garden. So we were talking about the spring.
Yeah.
So what's coming up?
Well, Aline was going to share about the first piece of the table.
So every spring, the first graders in the city plant peas, and there's a friendly competition between the elementary schools to see which school can have a pea ready for the table first. And it's modeled off of something that Thomas Jefferson did with his neighbors. So the students read about that and find out about how Thomas Jefferson and his neighbors did it, what kind of things some of his neighbors did to try and get ahead, whether it was planting fish in there. And then they get really excited. Again, it's a friendly competition, and I've been able to go over and award the winning school their Jefferson Cup a few times in the last couple of years. And last year over at Venable, they won and were so excited about eating sugar snap peas while we were talking about them being the winner. So that's one of my favorite programs that we do in the spring. What else have we got, Jeanette?
Yeah, so we're also partnering with Charlottesville City Schools and a local food hub to increase the amount of local fresh food served on the lunch line. So Carlton Jones, who's the nutrition director at the school, is starting a local on the line where he's going to profile local crops on the lunch line. So we encourage parents to check out the calendar, sign up for those lunch meals. The more families that are involved in the lunch, the more healthy food we can, you know, the schools can provide.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the spring, we also have our Root Celebration, which is our party for our partners and volunteers, and we give out our Golden Trowel Awards. So this is modeled off the Golden Apple Awards for teachers.
Yeah.
And we take a garden trowel and we spray paint it golden. And we get to thank many of our supporters and partners who really are dedicated to youth engagement in the environment and in gardening. So that's just some of the things we're doing this spring, as well as everyday classes in the gardens.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that sounds great. You're listening to Your Health on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, Resistance Radio here in Charlottesville. And we're talking with Jeanette Abinader and Aline Carey of City Schoolyard Garden. And we talked about the future growth. How can people say follow up?
Notice
what can
involved.
They do? Yeah, heck yeah, man.
So we have a volunteer webpage on our site that tells you different work days that we have. If you're someone who wants to get your hands dirty and get in there with the kids, there's opportunities to do that. We, of course, could use the financial support to help the programs go, to purchase the local foods to share with the students. We also, like Aline, is on our board of directors. She's our board chair and volunteers her time, a significant amount of time, I might add, over the year. So there's ways to get involved organizationally as well. And, the Charlottesville Food Justice Network meets every other month pretty much to share ideas around food justice. So if folks are interested, they can always contact us. The email is grow@cityschoolyardgarden.org.
Okay, grow@cityschoolyardgarden.org.
Yeah.
Where's the that food justice meeting held?
It's rotates. So,
see. Okay.
But
so
if someone's interested, they can let us know that they want to sign up and we'll let them know.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Golly, so you mentioned restaurants. What, there's, we of course, we have Hamilton's and they're a big advocate of sourcing locally. When possible and in season.
Absolutely. Also, Moss in Belmont.
Moss, right.
and Tomas Rahal, they have been big supporters of ours over the years. Petit Pois, they do every Tuesday, they donate during lunch and dinner. A portion of their proceeds benefits the garden. So in addition to going and getting yummy food, as you can do, like we were talking about sticks in January and May, you get the yummy food and you're donating to the garden as well. So it's a you know, two for one in that way.
Yeah.
And then, excuse me, I apologize. We're always looking for, you know, additional business sponsors and people who would like to partner with us. So that's one of the things we're working on right now is working with other people who are committed to local healthy food and who want to see the students benefit from that. So always looking for new business sponsors as well.
Oh, that's great. What have you ever thought about, or maybe you already do, have a booth or some sort of representation at City Market?
Once or twice a year, sometimes the youth will go to the market and host.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a good opportunity for them to explore what other growers are doing and
sure.
stuff. But, yeah, no, we really want to support local growers. And so going to the market and seeing what different growers are there and what's happening in the local food system is a great educational opportunity.
Do you ever take the kids to some of the local farms?
Yeah, they go on field trips.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been really fun. A couple times we've gone now to Open Gate Farm, and they have a lot of animals, and it's been really fun to see the school bus of city kids pull up, and Tom Ward, the farmer there, is just so generous and lets us run around and pet all the animals.
Oh, that's great.
It's
great.
A really good opportunity to see the broader food system and to see what we're doing on a small scale in the school done on a larger scale out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really neat. I know there's an awful lot of farms around here. And, you know, I really think that this, it just ties in, you know, the whole local food system. And then, you know, what you guys are doing at City Schoolyard Garden, getting the students educated so that they can, you know, they'll have an idea about nutrition.
Yeah.
Have you seen any kids that maybe weren't that interested,
yeah,
and now that they've talked to their friend, you know, that and now all of a sudden they want to participate? Have you seen any of that?
Yeah. Research done out of California and other like larger areas show that kids who grow their own food are more likely to eat it, and that in order to, like, just in general, people need to try something somewhere between 7 and 13 times before they, like, try a food that many times.
Huh.
So that's like the general research out there.
Okay.
And so we've seen that play out just anecdotally with what people say. And we look at children's preferences for fruits and vegetables at the beginning of the year and then again at the end of the year and have seen that they do prefer the crops that we've talked about and grown, especially when they've grown it themselves.
Yeah.
So we've had kids who were like, no way, I'd never eat an asparagus. What is that? That looks gross, to, you know, being really excited about it after having it in the garden.
I was always that way with okra.
Oh, yeah. Okra's a hard one, right?
It is a tough one, you know, the mouthfeel.
And it's a little difficult to grow, too. It's pretty prickly, so when you harvest it, it's not that friendly.
Oh, I see.
But it's beautiful.
Oh,
yeah,
it is. It's a beautiful thing. And you know, I finally figured out a way to roast it.
Yeah.
And it sort
take
of...
Take away the slime.
Change. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Take away the slime. I wasn't going to say it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're allowed. Oh, my gosh. That is great. So we talked a little bit about the art outreach, and we talked about that and the future growth. Do you see any, say, possibilities of just experimenting with these flat roofs on the schools to, you know, to do a rooftop
to
garden?
To grow food up there?
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that yet. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it would give, you know, I think, you know, having been a student, if the, you know, my teacher said, okay, now we're going to go up on the roof, boy, I'm all about that.
Exactly.
You know, just say, yeah, let's go up on the roof. And, you know, just an idea. I know Todd Niemeyer from UACC was talking about that as they redevelop some of these places that
yeah.
he's at Freedom. What is that one?
At Friendship there? Court?
Friendship Court, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're going to be
well,
doing that.
I know the schools are really committed. They have a very robust iSTEM program, which stands for Investment in Technology. And so they have these iSTEM teachers that are teaching multi-issue classes, hands-on classes. Mm-hmm. And so they're interested in doing some innovative things in the garden. around that. So, for example, this past fall, the students constructed season extenders and then tested them in the garden to see how long they could keep some green leaf lettuce alive in the garden. So making connections between engineering and agriculture, maybe that could lead to the rooftop.
Yeah,
we worked with a student. We had a college student who helped us build a bicycle, a dual bicycle that pumps water. So we at Buford, we collect water from the gymnasium. It goes into a big tank. And then our hoop house is a little bit up the hill, so mm-hmm. the water pressure is slow by the time it gets there. So we had a student develop a two-seat bike that you can ride on that pumps the water. So I just think there's lots of potential between engineering and agriculture and innovation.
It reminds me of Gilligan Island.
Yeah.
You know, the professor got some sort of one of their fiascos, you know, involved a bicycle generating power.
Okay.
You know, and
the ice dam was happening back on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I dated myself there, folks. So then the students ride the bike.
Yeah.
And get exercise
and pump water
at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, and it's a two-seater.
Like there are two bikes right next to each other.
Actually,
like they're connected, but side by side.
That's amazing that happened. So
the students always love that at the Harvest Festival.
Yeah.
Getting to try that out.
I bet they do.
For sure.
Yeah. So what? The spring. Mm-hmm. I just all the things that you're doing there. So that's coming up pretty shortly.
It is. And I didn't mention either this spring, we have a few, we're looking for new staff as well. We're growing a little bit
in
our staff. So we're looking for a development coordinator and an outreach coordinator. And there's descriptions on our website if people are interested.
Excellent. There you go, folks. You know, we create jobs here.
At
City Schoolyard Garden.
Very true.
The job creators, you know. We'll be back shortly. Just wanted to say that the... I have a new segment on this show. It's called the 2-Minute Drill, and I wanted to tell you that it's going to be we're going to get Maya Restaurant to sponsor that 2-Minute Drill, and they're open from 5 to 7:30, or excuse me, 5:30 to 1:30, 7 days a week, serving dinner. They source locally and organically grown produce and local meats. From farmers in the area as well. So that's a really good place to go. It's almost like coming home to eat, if you will. They really got some good stuff out there. So we have been hearing on To Your Health and from other sources that the demand for organic food is growing, and eating organic food is healthier because chemical fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides aren't used. Now we hear that the toxic administration in Washington might deregulate what organic is and what it's not, leaving you, dear listener, and me too, in a wasteland of confusion about what to believe. As the weeks roll by, and with Twitter storms erupting daily, nobody knows what to expect from our federal government, and quite frankly, reading the news can lead to a stress overload. And we know stress can lead to early heart, digestive, and brain problems. Can't we all just get along? The answer is yes, we can. Community-based agriculture brings us together and provides a common ground between folks from different cultures and backgrounds. It strengthens and gives voice to people who before now had none. And most importantly, provides the healthy food we crave and need for our bodies. Just imagine if we could feed all or most of the local population with real food and not be dependent on outside political or corporate forces for our nutrition. Imagine a life with 70% less copays for doctor visits because we're healthier. Very few incidences of hours lost due to sick days. A life with more energy, increased production at work, and that leads to promotions or pay raises. These rewards can be achieved by supporting programs like City Schoolyard Garden and other programs within the Food Justice Network. I urge you to give your time and or money to these life-giving and educational members. Visit www.cityschoolyardgarden.org and start your journey to a healthier and rewarding life. Thanks for listening, and a heartfelt thanks to you, Jeanette Avinader, and Aline Carey from City Schoolyard Garden. Next week, we'll have Mike Clark from Planet Earth Diversified. This is MC Blair saying, remember, eating real food is a toast to your health.
Thank you, MC.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.